Powered by Riverside. Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is volume 2025, episode number 28. Our air date is Thursday, July 10th, 2025. I am your host, C. Willie. Happy to be back in the chair again. Joined again this week by the lovely and talented
Quitter Pete.
There she is. Has not kicked me out yet. We have a very special guest joining us tonight. Johnny Guest is with us. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is an honor for us. We were talking a little bit before the mics were turned on. I used to hang out for a number of years where you are from, and that is that Great Lakes Bay region in Michigan, Midland, Bay City, Saginaw area. Love that part of the country. We're glad to have a hometown boy.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Bet. Yeah.
So taking a look at, as we do with our research of the folks that we're going to have on the show, kind of where you've been and what got you into music, one of the key lines to me as I was reading about you is you've been playing since you were 6 years old. Tell us about
that. Yeah. Well, so I had a toy guitar, like it was plastic, you know. And I beat on it. Probably used it like an axe or, you know, I might have ridden it down the stairs, something like that. But there was one string left on it. And so when I was about 6 years old and playing in the basement with my buddy, and we were watching jet ski racing on ESPN or whatever it was. And I thought, man, I want to do that. It's so cool. And so I had the idea for a song. And I wrote the lyrics down, and I was plucking out, like, the bass line on this one string. Ding, 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 just moving my finger around, you know. And then I realized, wow, this is something I can do. And I was begging for, like, a real guitar for years. And by the time I was 9, I was successful. We bought a used guitar. It's sitting right over there, a little classical guitar.
Can we see it?
It doesn't look like much, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's what's left of it anyway.
Oh, I love this.
There you go.
A 1975 Giannini. It's actually made made in Brazil.
All right.
Sounds lovely. Needs
well, that's the one that got him to start.
Yeah.
That's
the
terrific.
Of a nylon string guitar is it's easy on the fingers. But like the size of a baseball bat. So
Yeah, no doubt.
It taught me how to have good hand positioning, though, in order to reach all the frets.
Oh, you'd have to, no question.
No. So, yeah, 9 years old and got that guitar. And over the summer, I took lessons from Randy Valancourt in Midland, who happened to be two doors down. So I would drag the guitar two houses down. And go down into the basement, and he would teach me how to read music, and I'd look at the notes, and then I'd listen to him play, and I knew where all those sounds were on the guitar. So I would just recreate what I heard.
Instead of reading the music.
Yeah, I was looking at the book.
I can completely relate. I played for a while, and I cannot read music. I just cannot.
I've learned to read music like 5 times because it just isn't super important to me, which is strange in a way. In some circles, like all some musicians do, like symphonies, orchestras, all they do is read music.
Yeah.
But they get it mastered to the point, or they get, you know, a small group of songs together and master them to the point where they're referencing certain points and just keeping track of where they are. Their hands know it. Their ears know it.
Yeah.
You know, they're performing these songs that are amazing and flipping pages at the right time. So everybody stays together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could they memorize it? Yeah. If they learned it differently, they could memorize it probably. And that's what I did naturally is I heard it and I could recreate it.
Yeah.
So yeah, my teacher caught me though. He'd be like, "Okay, what's this note?" And be like, "I don't know. It's this one. Ding, you know, it's a C. It's right here."
I'll play it for you.
It still sounds good.
So he caught me like, he's like, "Did you practice?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Play that for me." And I'd play it fine because I heard it the week before. I could play it. And he's like, "All right, let's try a new one." And he played it and was like, "Wait, play that again." I was looking at him, you know. He's like, "Yeah, you don't know how to read music." I'm like, ah, he caught
No,
me.
truth is
So,
out.
yeah. So I took a couple summers of lessons in between elementary school years. So that after my summer where I turned 10, then I just didn't stop playing. By then I was incensed and pretty driven, and I would play guitar 2, 3, 4 hours a day. You
Wow.
know, every day after school, it got to the point where my dad was like, "Listen, if the grades don't come up, I'm taking the guitars away." And I was like, "Oh, Dad, you wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't do that." And of course
Now
he
I've got to
would.
get
So,
serious.
yeah. So then it became homework and then guitars.
Yeah.
And so,
Darn it, you were so close.
yeah. But I still gave it, you know, hours a day. And when I say practice, I would like. Now think of what was on the radio in 1984, 85. And those are the songs that I was learning. And I would put on like my FM headphones, right? And just loud enough so I could hear my guitar amp and I could hear the song in my head. And I just, by the time the song was over, I'd know it. You know, so in 2.5, 3, 3.5 minutes, I'd know everything except for the solo. And then the next time it came on the radio, I'd be like,
Then you're
"Oh, I'm going
working
to get
on
that
that.
solo." Sometimes you'd have to go buy the vinyl in order
Oh,
to, like, you know, rewind it and listen
you
to it over and
bet.
over again.
You bet.
Yeah. I wore out a lot of cassette players too,
Yeah.
just listening to solos and stuff.
Well, and
Oh,
interesting
lovely.
that's probably because you're going on what you're hearing on the radio and learning to play all of that. I mean, one of the things that folks talk about is you have such a wide range for what you play. And one of the things I read was everything from Gershwin to bluegrass and everything in between. So is that where that came from? Just, okay, here's another song. I'm going to learn this song.
You know, the Gershwin thing was unique. In the 90s, I had call it a demo studio in my first house in Midland. And Jim Hollmeyer came to Midland to be the new director there. And he reached out and he was like, "I need to record some choir parts for Brigadoon." And it was like everybody had to do a costume change while they were singing going on. And so they couldn't really sing because the mics had to come off and all the stuff. And so I had in 6, 7 people into my little studio and I recorded them singing. And then we played that over the PA in the auditorium while they were actually costume changing. And then so they would kind of fade out of the vocals and then jump back in while the tracks played. And he loved the sound of it so much. He was like, "Hey, when we go to do this," and it was his first production in Midland. He's like, "When we go to do this, would you come and help us get the sound right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, this sounds great." And
Why
you know, I was young. And he's like, "You got to dress all in black." I'm like, "Oh, okay, I can do that." And I don't
Let's do
know how
it.
many laps I made from that giant mixing board up in the seats. Everybody sits around there because the sound is best right there. But I did a ton of laps down into the pit where the orchestra was, and I brought in all my microphones and, you know, mic'd up all the instruments. And I'm like, "Okay, don't move." I was talking to the guy playing the stand-up bass, you know, and he's sawing away. I'm like, "Don't move. I'm gonna put a microphone right here. Don't move. Just do this thing and don't move." And it was really fun.
Oh, that sounds
We
like
got
it.
rave reviews on it, you know. It was really fun. It was the only one I ever did, but it turned into later on. He did a Gershwin special with Kevin Cole on piano, and if you've never heard him play piano, man, he coaxes things out of a piano you just didn't see coming. Yes, beautiful, beautiful stuff. So I got to play guitar, and it was actually my band at the time. And so we were like the rhythm section, and so then all the jazz and orchestration instruments came in around my band at the time. So my bass player, my drummer, and me on guitar. So I'm listening to all these things. They sent me the sheet music, of course, and got a history with sheet
Useless.
music. And I'm like, all these chords are wrong. Because I could hear the chords. These chords written in here are not right. And so I'm like, hey, can you get me a recorded version of this? Oh yeah, sure. Oh, great. Great. And then I was off to the races. So I created all my own guitar parts for the Gershwin stuff. The voicings I wanted to capture notes moving through that some of the instrumentation wasn't picking up, things like that. So it was quite a journey.
Wow,
Wow.
that's fascinating.
Yeah. The bluegrass stuff for 2 years, I think this was pre-Gershwin. For 2 years, I did nothing but flat picking bluegrass.
Really?
I really went down the rabbit hole. And we're talking like Billy Strings is huge right now. So I was into bluegrass when nobody cared. Nobody cared. And it was so demanding and so tactile and so difficult to play at that level that I was like, I have to do this. And I actually went back to my old guitar teacher, and I'm like, I think I can do this. But I was like I had this really legato feel, like a lot of blues stuff, a lot of left hand trickery going on. And bluegrass is this thing here right here. You like hit cruise control and it just does this at a single speed for minutes on end and little, 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 little. And I'm like, this is fascinating. So it turns your right hand into a motor. I'm like, oh, this is cool. So I got to where I had a couple offers to join touring bluegrass bands. And about that time I was thinking about having kids and like all of a sudden like being on tour with five guys in a van and going from campground to campground and maybe having showers now and then. I'm like,
Didn't sound like it was too attractive.
So I'll just give myself a high five and then I'll go home
There you go.
and gonna have a shower.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, the first song that we've got queued up from you tonight, I'm very interested to hear the backstory in this because I'm listening to the lyrics and there's a lot of emotion in this. Flowers Do. Would you tell us a little bit about this song?
Absolutely. Well, let's see. It was just after my birthday, which is coming up here July 1st. It was right about then, going on 2 years ago, that my sister Gail, who 16 years older than me, so as a young kid, she was like larger than life, and big personality, loved everybody so completely, and she was herself like quite the rebel, and as a young person, she got into all kinds of trouble. If somebody looked at her funny, she would say, "Well, how about I just punch you?" She had a lot of attitude. But sweet as pie. It's just she was such an interesting person. She went in the army and served her country, and really it changed her life a whole lot. Got her out of all the trouble stuff. And I kind of idolized her in a lot of ways when I was a kid. And she adored me. And as we both got older, we were very close. Sometimes we would just communicate in song lyrics or YouTube links, "Oh, this song is just killing me today," And she loved one of her favorite songs was "Simple Man."
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, she
Yes.
just. Love that kind of music, that southern rock stuff. Stevie Ray Vaughan, Allman Brothers, Lynyrd Skynyrd. That was
All
her
right.
jam. But anyway, so she was diagnosed with stomach cancer about that time.
Oh.
And because she's actually my half sibling, she on her side of her family, all of the sisters died of the same thing,
Oh my.
and she was the youngest of those girls, so. So we knew, at that point, we know what's going to happen.
Sure,
Of course, God gets what he wants, but we figured, well, this is probably going one direction. And so we made the best use of the time we had with her we could. And me being a songwriter and having no choice in the matter, really, I started immediately working on a song for her to try to capture her rebelliousness and her stubbornness and her unending love for people. She's a pretty awesome lady. One of the last things she did on this earth was the doctor pulled the family into a small room and said, listen, all we can do is make her comfortable. We were at that point of the cancer journey. And the morphine was shutting down her bowels, right? Like, things were just shutting down because that's what morphine does. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's crying, we're all crying. We go back into the room where my sister is, and she's like, why are you guys all sad? She was still full of it, you know?
Uh-huh.
So the doctor, you know, explains to her, you know, we don't have any more options. This is we're just kind of going to keep you comfortable, and we're just going to be here for you. And my sister Gail, rough around the edges, Gail, rebellious spirit. She loves hard. She puts her hands on this doctor's face and says, "You're a wonderful doctor.
Oh.
You're taking such good care of me." And the doctor, this killed me. The doctor's like, I've never met anyone like you. And my sister, being Gail, she says, you'll never meet another one either. You know? And we all chuckle and the tears and we're laughing. And this is, that was my sister.
Man.
And so she passed before I could get this recorded and released and everything. I did get to, through tears and such, play it for her on her birthday. In August, we surrounded her with family, and I printed out the lyrics because I just knew, like, I practiced it a couple hundred times. I can't fail. I'm a strong guy. I won't cry. And then I cried. So I didn't really get all the way through it. And but we could read the lyrics, and you know, we just came around her and lifted her up as much as we could. You know, but music was something that she used in order to deal with the pain she was having. You know, this song and another song of mine called Shelter. And she said she just listened to them on repeat. You know?
Well, this is absolutely a beautiful song. And now that we know the story to it, it has even more meaning. And you certainly accomplished what you set out to.
Well, while you play that, I'm going to get some tissues.
Yeah, exactly.
Get one for me.
This one's called Flowers Do. This is from Johnny Guest.
I've got a big sister. She served in the army. She carries those scars with honor and pride. When the pain gets too much to handle, she lights one up and forces a smile. In her front yard, all glory wanes over a lovely flower garden. The weeding was easy in her younger years. She still gets it done, but feels it for days. She says, brother, remember that I love you. Don't forget, God loves you too in your dark. Life to live, 'cause It was a Tuesday in her 64th summer. She learned she was sick and called me at home. Hey, little brother, I've got to tell Mama, but I'm too scared to do it alone. So we called together, we heard the phone ring. When Mama answered, she said, hello. Sister said, Mama, they say I've got cancer. Then Mama cried, soft and low.
Flowers Do from Johnny Guest for his sister.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
There's a lot of times that emotions come out while we're doing this show. This is definitely one of them.
We might need a moment.
Yes. Johnny, that's an absolutely amazing song. And
thank you
knowing
so much.
The story behind it makes it even more special. And we appreciate you writing that and sharing it with us.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah. Hey, folks, therapy. we got to get our composure back. So we're going to take a little break. We will be right back with Johnny Guest.
It's the new party of the summer, the Country Roads Music Festival at the Groves in Brooklyn, Michigan, July 18, 19, and 20. Restless Road, Colt Ford, and Drew Baldridge are your headliners, and they're going to be joined on stage by a host of VCS alums, including Louie Lee, Ryan Jay, Michaela Prue, Gasoline Gypsies, Kay Harper, Blue Sky, and many more. There are a host of ticket packages available. This is going to be the one you want to be at. CountryRoadsMusicFestival.com is where you get your tickets. We'll see you there July 18, 19, and 20.
Wow, dude. That's,
wait a minute.
Yeah, that's an absolutely beautiful song, buddy.
When you play the song at one of your shows, I mean, do you get the same reaction of like, wow, what?
Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah, it's interesting because what the song does is it connects people. There is so many folks affected by cancer.
Yeah. Right?
Either themselves or losing someone. So when I play this at a show, and I don't always play it, like sometimes we just want to stay up and happy.
Yeah.
And this like to play this one, we have to be in front of certain people. I feel.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should play it at every.
No, show. I agree.
I think you're you're hitting that right where it needs to hit. Yeah.
You know, but every time I play it, inevitably there's at least one conversation that will spur out of that. Yeah. End of the show, someone will come up and tell me about someone they lost.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, it's overwhelming, the amount of cancer out there and how many people are struggling with it.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, for me, the song has kind of had a little bit of a life of its own. And I hope it's a reminder that, you know, we all have something in common.
Well, you were made to write that song.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know she appreciates it. She has to.
Yeah, she was a tireless force of encouragement. She was something else, I'll tell you what. Yeah.
So that's the backstory, and that's what Johnny's doing with that song. But I'd really be interested, and we know how that song was created. Is there a typical process for you when you're writing?
Typically, I will have songs turn on in my brain. It sounds weird to think of it like this, but a lot of times it's kind of like if you were waiting at a train station and you hear it coming, and then it's here, and all of it in entirety is here right now. And so it feels like if I'm driving, I'm like, oh man, where's my phone? I got to do like a voice message to myself or pull over and sing into my phone. And I'm trying to capture everything I'm hearing. I might sing the bass line to myself so I don't lose that part because it's there too. And there's horns. Sure. Who's playing horns in my head? You know? It can just be like that. It can be like that. It's where like the song is delivered. It's like somebody just hits play. It can be like that. Sometimes it's a topic that's on my heart and it won't leave me alone. And then I'll wind up dreaming about it and waking up and there it is. Oh my gosh. You know, there's also times, a lot of them, where I can't sleep at night.
Yep.
I'm in bed. It's dark. I should be sleeping. I'm tired, but I don't know why I'm not sleeping. And then there it is. The light bulb goes off. And I wind up emailing myself 16 times trying to develop this lyrical idea, but the melody's attached to it, and I can't forget that. And because I'm more of an ear learner, you know, I have to go through it a billion times to make sure this melody is different enough than that other idea I had last night.
Yeah.
And I rarely get to, like, just sit down and record it, like a piano or guitar or whatever. It's usually, like, all the ideas are competing. I had
And the composition is within you as much as anything else.
It is. It is. Yeah. And the interesting thing, and I've talked about this particular topic with other songwriters, is the ideas up here, like the songs in here, and in the process of making it transform into airwaves, it gets mutated.
Mm-hmm.
And then it changes, and it's not what I imagined it would be. And you know, it's to force it into being, it changes. It's never exactly what I intended.
Sure.
To put it into vibrations and strings and things like that and beats. It's interesting, you know? Yeah, I don't know. It's wild. Well,
and it's different for everybody, but it's interesting to me hearing you say that creative can come at any time, whether you're driving or you're laying in bed at night, can't sleep. That creative, all of a sudden it hits, and when it does, it's really strong. You've got to do something about it.
It is. It's like if you were friends with a linebacker from the Detroit Lions, let's say, and then they just came over and sat on you until you did the thing you were supposed to do. That's what happens. Yeah. It's like, fine.
That is quite possibly is the best analogy we've had on the show yet. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, that depends. Which quarterback are we talking about? Or which linebacker? Yeah. It changes everything.
Yeah. The biggest, fattest one.
Yeah. There you go.
Got it.
Well, this next one that we've got queued up, you know the tune, is another beautiful song. Who is it that's singing with you on this?
She is not in a band. She is very shy and doesn't perform.
Okay.
But I happen to be married to her.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, it's beautiful. And she has an amazing voice, too. And the harmonies in this are as good as I've heard. It's just, it is really a fine song and a wonderful message, too.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Because it's, we get, you know, I don't know, inundated in songs that are about cheating or, you know. Yeah. All kinds of things that are immoral. And I know, I don't know. I'm a crusty Gen Xer. I'm like, what happened to fidelity? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that seems like a pretty good idea. Why don't we write songs about that? You know?
No question.
So I don't hold back as a songwriter. Like those, that's my story. And having, you know, having those conversations, I think from songs that, are pro marriage and traditional values. I think there's a big place for that. There's a lot of folks looking for that.
Well, and folks, listen to the lyrics in this. Listen to the message that's here, because it's exactly what Johnny's saying, and it's that give and take. It's that I've got you covered here, you've got me covered there. And as I listen to this song, the few times that we have, I love that. This is the balance, and this is what the solid relationship has. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's give this one a listen. You know the tune from Johnny Guest.
When I wake up, you're already running. Sounds from the kitchen and your sweet voice humming.
Got a song in my heart like lovers do.
I know the words and you know the tune. Long day at work and I can't wait for a little home cooking and your angel face.
Got some music playing like we always do.
I know the words and you know the tune.
Staying up late
And
so
now it is. That is an absolutely beautiful song. And now we know both the words and the tune, and we are much better for it. Johnny Guest, you know the tune. Great song. Johnny,
you
have a way of capturing life the way it should be.
Oh, well, thank you. That's something I'm very cautious of, you know.
All right. Hey, folks, let's take another quick break, and we will be right back with Johnny Guest.
Can't take your purse into the show? Here's a safe and convenient alternative, Wallet Buckle. They're super stylish, convenient, and very safe. Go to walletbuckle.com and check them out. And if you enter the coupon code BORDERPEEP, you get 15% off your order. That's walletbuckle.com.
Welcome back to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. We have been with our good friend Johnny Guest, who has been really kind of giving us a lesson in life tonight with his music, and we are very much the better for it. Johnny, this has been a lot of fun with you tonight. Where do folks find you?
Probably I'm most active on Facebook, and I don't know if it's an old guy thing or whatever, but when I look at all of the folks that I interact with, there's just more of it on Facebook. And of course I'm on Instagram too, and all the handles are the same. It's Johnny Guest Music.
Okay.
And there's a TikTok that I have no passion for, but there's some really cool people that hang out there, you know. So I chat with those guys over there, but I'm trying to be everywhere, and it's just too much for one person.
It's a lot. So.
Well, in the business, there's a lot of hustling that needs to happen, and it's full time.
Well, and I'm an old curmudgeon now, you know. I'm almost 51, so it's
my goodness, you're still a puppy.
You know, it's like these newfangled things keep coming out.
That's difficult.
Yeah. I'm going to write somebody a letter and tell them to stop, you know.
Go away.
I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Hey, this last one that we've got queued up for you. I said to Quarter Pete before we started, this is my new cruising song. I absolutely love this one.
Awesome.
This is Rubber Meets the Road. Tell us about this.
Well, Rubber Meets the Road, in contrast of the previous two songs, those two songs were recorded in a session in Nashville by Ken Royster, Luke Combs' first producer. He did the Hurricane record for Luke Combs that went diamond or something crazy. Yeah. So he reached out and he's like, I'd love to work with you. And so it went down. The first two sessions, we had half of Kenny Chesney's band and some long-term studio pros on the recordings we just listened to. For Rubber Meets the Road and the three songs yet to be released, we wanted it to be ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, and it takes longer because they don't, you know, instead of three guitar players going at it at the same time, it was me doing multiple layers and, you know, being a little more on the creative side. And then, I'll go over to the acoustic guitar room and play some song stuff over there back and forth. So we loved the process. It was really exhausting. I spent, for four songs, we did four songs. I was in there for 2.5 days in the vocal booth.
Wow.
Yeah. Did all the vocals and, you know, it was quite a challenge. Ken is very demanding and wants it a specific way, and he really challenged me. Mm-hmm. But I came out of it like with a better understanding of what can happen in here. And man, I Yeah, it's great. Anyway, so Rubber Meets the Road was my own band. It was Rick Armstrong in bass, who I play every night with, and Ben Patterson on drums, who I play every night with. So non-studio guys going down there and giving it what for, man. I'm really proud of what they accomplished in the studio. It's really fun. So it's I wanted it to be my fingerprints, you know, rubbing on the strings and getting captured on these songs. The first of which is Rubber Meets the Road, but it really captures that feeling for me that I hold on to. Now, I've survived 50 winters now, okay? But every one of them, I'm pretty sure I almost died in there somewhere just because it was gray, you know, like January is 180 days.
Right? Yeah, so, it is. It is.
Anyway, so you know, I used to enjoy fall and be like, "Oh, the colors are pretty," and I still try to do it. I try to like it, but you know what's coming?
Yes, yes.
I'm just gonna get depressed.
It's like the giant gray foot that's just gonna squish all the life right out.
Exactly,
of it.
Exactly.
And so that seasonal depression thing. Now I'm making light of it, of course, but it is a real deal for me.
And no,
I got to dig really deep to be a kind person all winter long.
Yeah.
Take a bunch of vitamin D and get through it. So I hang on to what I know is coming, which is spring, and it's a short 10 months of winter away. I can make it, you know.
Welcome to Michigan.
Right. Exactly.
You still live here.
Oh my goodness. But anyway, so I hang on to that, and I know spring's coming and the motorcycles will come out and I'll be having fun again, and I won't die probably. So Rubber Meets the Road is about that moment in time where you start to feel a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
You start to feel a little bit lighter and there's some hope in your soul again. Mm-hmm. And it's getting warmer out. Oh man, that snow's melting. And what's in the flower beds popping up right there?
Yes, is that, exactly.
I don't know what it's called, but anyway, it's some sort of plant. My wife knows all that stuff. That's not my department.
It's green and it's going to be pretty.
Right. Something pretty is coming. Yeah. So Rubber Meets the Road is really about just hanging on. And then you're there. And really, there's a challenge built into this song. It's like, well, now you're finally here. What are you going to do with it?
Oh,
make the most of it.
Make the most of it. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, enjoy it. Like a conversation with a friend of mine, Matthew Perryman Jones. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant songwriter. And we were talking, I'm like, why don't we write songs about celebrating things? And his answer was, well, we celebrate things in real life all the time, but he was trying to reach the people who are sad and can't feel that. And if they don't go all the way into it, into their sadness and depression and figure it out, they'll never climb out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was a pretty interesting insight, I thought. So in this way, it's like, this is a challenge of actually feeling joy. You know, it's built into the song. Feel joy for once so that you have something to celebrate.
Well, take it from that standpoint, folks. Johnny's just issued the challenge for us. Let's find that joy. Let's embrace that joy. This is Rubber Meets the Road.
Spring has sprung, my depression comes on.
Definitely the awakening song for the summer. I absolutely love that. Rubber Meets the Road, that's Johnny Guest. Great, great tune. I don't even ride, and I want to go out and ride a bike right now.
You should, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, that is fantastic. Thank you so much, Johnny. That's you brought us through every emotion possible with this interview tonight. This has been wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Who do we have coming up next?
Watch out. Felicity will be on next week.
Woo-hoo. We're excited to be talking to these guys all the way from Orlando, Florida. We're going to opposite sides of the continent. This is all right. Johnny Guest has been with us tonight, sir. Thank you so much for sharing everything you did. This has just absolutely been wonderful.
Wonderful. I really appreciate your hospitality. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, folks, for all the support you've been giving us. We really appreciate what everybody's been doing for us. You know where to find us. We're out on all of those podcast platforms. And you can watch us on YouTube. We also want to hear about more folks like Johnny Guest. If you've got somebody that you'd like us to talk with, VehicleCitySound@gmail.com. Drop us a note. Let us know about it. If you want to know where we're going to be, VehicleCitySound.com is the website. And please subscribe to us on YouTube. We appreciate all the support we've been getting. We appreciate having folks like Johnny on. Johnny, thank you so much for joining us again tonight.
I subscribed.
We love it. All right. Hey, folks, that's a wrap on tonight's show. Hey, everybody. Be good.